Just to clarify, the Pinhurst trial was a relatively small study. If there were a difference, let's say a 20% difference between using 9 weeks versus 1 year, do you think we would have been able to see it with those data?
The point estimate was very similar to what our studies were, but as you're saying, the confidence interval was so wide around that it went from like 20 to 80, so you had no idea head-to-head. I mean, to me, it meant it supported the idea that Herceptin is an awfully important drug, and no matter how you give it to a HER2-positive patient, they get substantial benefit. And certainly, if you have somebody who you're worried about cardiotoxicity, it provides rationale to me for getting it in early, but then not being afraid of stopping if you get any signal that you might be running into problems.
The other thing that strikes me from the data from last year that was presented by the joint analysis as far as the optimal duration of trastuzumab is actually the fact that up to 20% of the patients in the joint analysis did not complete a full year of trastuzumab and still derived substantial benefit from the use of the drug. So truly asking the question, even perhaps could be less than 1 year, be what you need. Yeah.
But we really haven't seen that analysis. The analysis we really want to see is what happened to the patients that stopped after 3 months. And that we haven't seen. That's going to be confounded, of course, by the fact
we're waiting for more events, because the likelihood of being able to learn anything real looking at the original decision was made, let's wait for the events. So we look at a point where we can have, I guess, a little more confidence in what we might see.
But it is going to be very challenging to do that analysis because you're talking about a much smaller number of events and a completely separate issue, but still relevant to the black and white benefit versus no benefit assumptions that we make, is the whole issue of differential levels of gene amplification, which we also don't have any information
and
right now.
I guess another thing is that 9 week regimen certainly has a hazard ratio very similar to all the rest of the regimens, and I think some of the Europeans will make the point where we're in the U.S. giving pretty much routinely concurrent chemotherapy with the Herceptin, and they would point out that the only outlier that they see is Edith Perez's subgroup analysis, which is the only one that really shows a substantially less benefit in that one subgroup. And so they said we're basing it all on an unplanned subgroup, which is the outlier from all the rest of the major analyses, even for the small trial. And that's an important point because that also fits into the same question here in terms of concurrent versus after the chemotherapy.
Chuck?
Two comments on that. It's interesting, though, with the Europeans saying that, they're also talking about modifying the Aphrodite study to let docs give chemotherapy concurrently with the Herceptin. So that's starting to shift because, for practical reasons, they're moving over. The other thing is, in our 9831 B31 report, we had to peel out some of our figures. And so the New England Journal article doesn't have the hazards in there, but they're in the supplement, and they look very different in the first few years on our study giving it concurrently than what those HERA things. And what I've not yet had a chance to do is put them side by side, but they are quite different. And I think it'd be interesting to look at the two side by side.